Time now for the Northwest Arkansas Business Journal Report. I'm Paul Gatling. Well, it is now officially official. A group led by Walmart heir Rob Walton is the newest NFL franchise owner. On Tuesday, the league's owners unanimously approved the sale of the Denver Broncos to an ownership group led by Walton, who is the son of Walmart founder Sam Walton. The Walton-Penner ownership group has agreed to pay $4.65 billion for the team, and that is a record price for a sports franchise. The late Pat Bowlen and his family had owned the team for 38 years. The two sides agreed to the deal in June. Forbes says the net worth of the 77-year-old Walton is $65 billion. That makes him the richest owner in the NFL. The ownership team also includes his daughter, Carrie, and her husband, Greg Penner, who is Walmart's board chairman. The ownership group also includes former Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice and Formula One driver Lewis Hamilton. The Penners are Colorado residents and are expected to lead the team's day-to-day operations. We've got more news after the break on today's Northwest Arkansas Business Journal Report.
Support for the Northwest Arkansas Business Journal Report is provided by the Arkansas State Chamber of Commerce and Associated Industries of Arkansas. The Chamber's mission is to promote a pro-business, free enterprise agenda and prevent legislation, regulation, and rules that hinder business. ArkansasStateChamber.com. Arkansas Blue Cross and Blue Shield. For more than 70 years, Arkansas Blue Cross and Blue Shield has used its knowledge and compassion to create healthcare solutions for individuals and businesses. More information at ArkansasBlueCross.com. First Security is proud to be only in Arkansas. They offer smart solutions for personal and business banking, plus convenient services and community investment. First Security, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
The Arkansas nonprofit The Venture Center is based in Little Rock, and its mission is to boost entrepreneurship. In a recent interview with Roby Brock, Executive Director Wayne Miller discussed how the center has survived and thrived during the pandemic and recovery, and its niche in the financial technology industry.
What have you been seeing post-pandemic in terms of entrepreneurship, whether that's utilization of your group's resources or just some general trends that you've been seeing?
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty interesting question. First of all, I think that the pandemic did inspire some entrepreneurship. You know, people got stuck at home and some folks decided to retire a little early. So I think we've seen certainly an uptick in folks' interest to build and grow businesses. You know, the average age of an entrepreneur is about 38 years old today. I don't think those folks are retiring, but I think the older folks, probably 60 plus, are doing more in that venue, which I think has been sort of interesting. We are getting some good energy around people getting back together. Still a little bit of ebb and flow as to the extent of the intensity of the virus, and still some caution, certainly in our area. But I've had the opportunity to travel a lot over the last couple, 2 or 3 months, going back to conventions, getting back together with people, both from an entrepreneurial as well as from a fintech perspective. And, you know, folks are certainly glad to be back together. So I think that's a good thing. The other thing is that there are some economic pressures right now that are being felt by entrepreneurs as we look at the valuations of companies, which have been highly discounted over this last few months. And there's some opportunities out there, et cetera. But it's a good time to, as an entrepreneur, to keep your powder dry and prepare for what could be a fairly long, maybe 12, 18, 24 month cycle to raising capital again. So we're seeing some folks adjust. Some of this, there were valuations that were pretty frothy in the market. So this was, to some degree, I think, an appropriate correction, but still a lot of capital out there, a lot of fat balance sheets, but people are going to be cautious and looking for deals. But, look, if you build a good business, you can always find money to get it going. So some perspective for you there.
You have helped move quite a few good businesses through there. I want to talk a little bit more in the history of what you guys have done in the fintech space with some of the cohorts that you've brought in, with some of the talent that you've helped assemble and push out the door into the private sector and public sector space there. What's been the track record? I think I saw a statistic that said about 94% of the fintechs that have come through the Venture Center have been successful. What does that mean?
Yeah, that's a great question. So when we say that, so 94% of the companies that have been through our programs, and you know, we just started our seventh program with FIS. Actually, yesterday was the orientation. So when you combine that with the ICB, that's now 11 programs, which puts us at 107 companies totally engaged with the Venture Center over what has been a 7-year period. But what we reflect on that for two reasons. One is if you look at typical incubation and acceleration programs, it tends to be converse. So it tends to be about a 5-6% success rate. But just part of that's our methodology and how we work with our clients. But to us, that means that they are still in business, they're active or have been acquired. So that is what the 94% reflects on from a metrics perspective. The other thing that's pretty important is that the process that we use here, working with all the banks that we bring through, et cetera, who give us this opportunity to de-risk these companies in a fashion that's, I always like to equate it to Gene Hackman and Hoosiers when he tells this guy to, I want you to guard this guy so closely that you know the flavor of his chewing gum at the end of the game. You know, we spent 16 weeks with these guys and man, we know the flavor of their chewing gum and what they're made out of. So it gives us the capacity to de-risk them, but it's enabled us to get them to a position where the average capital raise coming out of the program now is north of $8 million. And that takes out a couple of the biggies. We've had one company in there. We've got actually 3 or 4 unicorns that are now in existence as a reason, not so much as the result of this, but I think we've had impact on their growth and their success.
So you've added another layer to something that you're going to do in the fintech space in mid-August, I think the 15th through the 17th, you're going to do this Vincent FinTech Summit. Tell me what to expect.
Yeah, you know, it's been kind of a vision we've had for about 3 or 4 years, you know, as we've been able to leverage and really exploit the great fintech history that exists here in Little Rock, as well as, you know, my God, the entrepreneurial DNA in the state is pretty much second to few. And you know, what we've tried to do is really build on the accelerator platform that we've built. You know, one of the things that we have seen is, you know, the last ICBA program, 250 banks participated, and most of that was done virtually, of course, because of the environment. But also, you know, that's nearly 1,000 bankers. Arvest, for example, had 60 people on the call and spent 6 or 7 hours on Zoom getting to know these companies and so forth. But Robbie, what we've been able to do is build a great deal of trust in an environment where both the fintechs and the banks can win. And they get a chance to sit down at the table and collaborate effectively over the solution, the problem. And, you know, the companies have become more mature over time. And what they really provide for the bankers coming today is they provide really, we like to suggest, your shovel-ready or bank-ready solutions. They can deploy these solutions tomorrow in their institution. And what really matters to them is that helping them save money or make money, right? That's kind of the key and the root of what we do. But this trusted partnership has enabled us to put our hand up to say, hey, what if we were to bring all of our alumni and some of the leading subject matter experts, both in the regulatory, banking as a service, digital transformation, all the various spaces that are impacting banking today. What if we brought everybody together to collaborate at a higher level and at a bigger scale? And that is very much what we've tried to create with Vincent. And I have to tell you, this has been a pretty big lift for our team. You know, we're just about 10 or 11 people here at the Venture Center. So to do a conference at this level for us with now nearly 400 people coming in attendance, I can't say enough about my team's effort and the community.
The Vincent FinTech Summit next week will also include a conversation between Governor Asa Hutchinson and FIS CEO Gary Norcross, who is a native Arkansan. You can watch Wayne Miller's interview with Roby Brock on our sister website at talkbusiness.net. In other news this week, the U.S. Marshals Museum in Fort Smith named Ben Johnson of Iowa its new president and CEO. Patrick Weeks, who faces 2 felony charges of aggravated assault with a firearm, resigned that job in March. And a third party will build publicly traded Canoe's first electric delivery vans for Walmart. And that is a change from the startup's previous plans to assemble them at its Bentonville factory. Bloomberg reported that news Monday following the EV maker's second quarter earnings report. Canoe reported a net loss of $164.4 million in the second quarter and nearly $290 million loss in the first half of the year. But The company says it ended the second quarter with more than $1 billion in its sales pipeline. And we are closing in on the deadline to make nominations for our final recognition program of the year, the C-Suite Awards. The nomination deadline is Friday, August 19th, and this year's honorees will be profiled in the October 10th issue of the Business Journal. For more information, you can find details at nwabusinessjournal.com. I'm Paul Gatling, and that's the Northwest Arkansas Business Journal Report. Until next time, thanks for listening.